Good afternoon, everybody. It is Alistair Hart here and
Colin Tolini,
founder of Gym Bud, Alistair from Hart Innovations, and we're hanging out, drinking a bit of bourbon, sitting on a lamb rug, got a guitar, shooting shit, talking about a whole bunch of everything related to startup, entrepreneurial development, and kind of demystifying the whole process. And I think we're going to do some kind of rapid fireside questions over the next 15 or so minutes. And I mean, straight up, like, what is some of the biggest bullshit that you've come to see as an entrepreneur that is just straight BS? And how did you come to see that was BS?
I think the biggest misconception is around social media and social influencers. So pretty much, you have these social influencers with maybe 100, 150, maybe 200,000 followers who are charging upwards of maybe 500,000, maybe even 1500 bucks for a post, which is just a ridiculous amount. But the thing is, you know, the biggest misconception with social media and these influencers is that these influencers have actually built their business off, you know, another business, which is really the big picture is Facebook and Instagram. I mean, what me and Al have spoken about before was that, you know, if you build a business off another business, they sort of depict on what, you know, what direction you head in. So for example, with all these social influencers, you know, if Facebook or Instagram change their algorithms, these social influencers have to change the way that they approach. So, you know, if Instagram implements a new story mode where people have to actually upload photos, what they do is that then, you know, the algorithm shows a certain part of those followers the actual post, another portion of the followers to the story mode, another to whatever it might be, and then from there they you know, how popular your post is to the audience that Instagram has showed, depending on likes, comments and shares, will then show to the rest of your audience. I think the biggest thing with social media and especially social media marketing comes down to so say for example, so 1500 bucks, you have someone that has 150,000 followers on social media, or 100 to 150,000 people, they charge you for a post. That post gets somewhere between maybe, you know, 500 to maybe 1200 likes, you know, just for an example. And then on the flip side, you know, you have, you know, you might put that kind of money into a Facebook ad or an Instagram app where it's, you know, it's completely, you know, different sort of set of things. So with the social media platform, those people can only, you know, they'll put up a post, you know, show their names on it or whatever it might be. They get those likes. You might get like maybe 50 comments, if that. So what you, they're not actually able to target anybody within that sort of the people that you want to target. You think that they do, but they actually don't. Those names don't actually mean anything. So for example, I won't actually name names, but a very well-known cricket player who somebody paid very good money for, you know, a post, didn't actually generate a lot of traffic back through the website because people don't actually give a shit about, you know, the names that on it or whatever it is. It's the relevance to them at that point in time. You know, are you searching for this? Well, then this is what I want. Are you doing this? Well, then this is what I need. That's the big misconception around it. See, and the thing, so you've got these well-known cricket players, footy players, whatever it might be, and then you have all these social media influencers who have just pretty much grown their account, you know, through, you know, different posts, whatever it might be. They're not actually able to pick and choose which part, what age, how, you know, how old people are, you know, where people are located. They're not actually able to choose what part of their audience or followers, so the 200,000 or 150,000 people that see that post. So if you pump that money into Facebook, a Facebook ad or an Instagram ad, so then you then have, you know, a certain amount of people in your target market where you're then able to target the gender, you know, the age, location, you know, all of that sort of stuff directly to people who find your ad or your market or your product relevant. You know, and Facebook and Google and Instagram, Snapchat, they all use cookies to push out relevant ads to your phone. So you ever search something on Google, you know what I mean? Like, and something's popped up on your Facebook. That's because Facebook uses a plugin that actually allows them to access your search data. So you search dog food and push it out dog food to, you know, you see an ad for dog food on your Facebook. Exact same sort of thing. So it comes down to, you know, when you're spending money on marketing and all that sort of stuff, and depending on what you want to, you know, what kind of outcome you want to get, I suggest that you really sort of step back and find, you know, exactly what you want to achieve with your marketing and then push forward.
So you're saying that social influencers aren't really a preferred way for you to generate on behalf of your own business? Like, you wouldn't really use them?
In my honest opinion, I probably wouldn't. Just because, you know, it comes down at the end of the day, you have to figure it out for yourself. So if you've got all these social influencers and all these, you know, all these people on social media that are making thousands and millions of dollars a year for, which we've spoke before about, Al, and then they're making thousands and millions of dollars a year on the, you know, the marketing side of things, you know, being able to put up posts and all that sort of thing. And they've built their business on a platform, you know, which is another business that wants to make money as well. So do you really think that these other businesses are going to be, you know, allowing these things to happen if it didn't work in their favor? You know, it comes down to sort of like common sense and, you know, breaking down exactly what, you know, finding out what a business is, you know, how they're making money, how people are making money, how people are benefiting off it. With these social influencers. So do you really think that Facebook or these big social media companies would let, you know, their users profit over them? I highly, 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 you know, disagree with, you know, anyone who would say that they would, because 100% they wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading this Instagram, this article from one of the like marketing executives of this crazy hotel chain in, I think it might have been Fiji or somewhere wonderful like that, and they were saying, you know, the amount of people that reach out to them with 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 followers or whatever to, hey, you know, we want to come and get comped for the visit, and, you know, and they were saying a lot of these social influencers were setting the hotels broke for the amount of juices and shit that they wanted in the hotels, because the return that they were getting wasn't really relative to the level of costs that they were charging or generating from staying there, from accommodation to any of the other things, you know, especially if they're not, I suppose, hyper-specific, you know, generally if they might have a target audience and they're being advertised towards those about going on a holiday, it's not really getting the consumer at that point of purchase. They're not, it might inspire them later down the line, like, oh, hey, yeah, I follow this bikini girl and I really love where she went on that holiday and I want to go there on my honeymoon, but it's not, as you said, they're not on that consumer journey of that purchase. They're not searching for that particular product. It's something that might pop up as a nice to have. But, you know, any of the online purchases now, typically a consumer is researching before they are purchasing. They're familiarizing themselves with the product. They're looking at the service providers that are providing those products. They're looking at the cost differences of where they can get them cheaper. Yeah. And a lot of the time, you know, a business is actually paying for their competitors' marketing as well. You know, if the competitor can close the prospect, that's coming out of a budget that you're not really seeing. Like, you're paying for, essentially, you're educating and paying for a consumer. You're paying these ads to target a consumer, and then that consumer is essentially being closed by another competitor when they get to that conversation point. So it's like, how do you then I suppose, convert somebody through social media, through digital marketing. And that's something that I've now jumped into that I'm really excited to start understanding more of from an agency perspective, from a growth hacking perspective, and also leveraging these new technologies that are constantly changing. I mean, I know Google changes theirs a lot more without necessarily waiting on the whim for Facebook, but... you know, we mentioned earlier on in another podcast just the power of communities, and I think really that's where the biggest leverage is actually leveraging communities in the first instance. And I mean, is that something that, I mean, you've launched, in the valuations, a multi-million dollar business, you've gone and generated, you know, big brand name partnerships with multi-franchise gym owners and, national brands, but like, you know, for you, what has been the primary source of obtaining your users and marketing and getting it? Like, what's been the biggest, you know, bit of bullshit that you've broke through that wasn't true that people would always tell you? And then what have you found out for yourself?
I guess it's just finding that, so what we were talking about that, on the other podcast was, you know, that validation and finding your spot for your product in the market. So, for example, you know, what we did was we actually surveyed a whole bunch of people to find out exactly what the people within, you know, the market that we thought that, you know, we're going to target wanted. And then that way we could go back and we could develop a product that was relevant to exactly what they wanted. And so people would actually download it and find that relevance there to actually use the app. People downloading the app is one thing, but to have people coming back day after day and, you know, searching for new things, or, you know, what are you actually doing to sort of capture the attention of people who are coming on your app? So, you know, like what I said, downloading is one thing. So, you know, what kind of things do you have planned in the future that will continue to capture the attention of your users, whether it's planned updates, whether, you know, it's through, you know, whatever it might be. That is another crucial factor within, you know, getting those active users, or even approaching or getting those users on board. I mean, getting those users on board is, you know, it's kind of easy. You know, the first maybe 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, you start to see a trend in who's actually downloading the app. You start to see who's, you know, what age brackets downloading, you know, where people are downloading it from. And you start to see the type of people who are actually downloading. So from there, you know, you can't target that kind of audience with a social influencer. You go approach them and say, all right, cool. Well, you put this post up for $2,000 and then, you know, we'll show it to this many people, 100 people like it, 2 people click on the link. So from Facebook, from a Facebook, Instagram point of view, or even a search engine point of view, you go onto these, you know, you put these ads up and all these sorts of things, and you can actually monitor where the clicks are coming from, who you can target, what age bracket, who's actually clicking on the app, all of that, all of those things which contribute to people who are actually going to continue using your app. Like what I said before, the downloads is one thing, but for people to continue coming back for the service that you're offering is a complete other thing, you know. And that contributes to the sort of marketing side of things, you know, whether you that's a revenue stream for your business, or whether it's through you know, other things like GymBud has. Like, we have our passport, you know, people who are coming back to use our passport, we can then show them, you know, their active health and fitness goals. So we can show them different angles of, you know, maybe proteins they might like, you know, sort of different sort of pre-workouts, amino acids, that whole different aspect of things that you don't actually think about comes into play when you're able to target your audience as you should. So I would steer away from social influencers, only because I know I can target their 200,000 followers a lot better and a lot cheaper than what they can through the social media platform that they're on, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You know, it can be anything. The business that they've built their business on will not allow the business that's running on their business to benefit more than them.
Yeah.
And they'll implement different strategies like they do, Facebook and Instagram do, through different algorithms, through the way that they show the followers that follow certain influencers, their stories, their photos, and all that sort of stuff. And they implement different features. So they show different features to certain parts of the followers that actually follow that, who actually follow that influencer. And it's understanding that, which will show a massive difference in, you know, where you are now and then potentially where you want to be, especially being a startup.
And, you know, a big part of that as well, I suppose, is the cash flow, right? Like having to get as much audience and eyeballs as you can. I mean, you know, if you know that your audience has a particular affiliation with a particular social influencer, I mean, just go on their account, click followers, and then you find the 50,000 people who are following them, and you can reach out to them directly, you know. But yeah, people are pretty savvy with that now. I mean, getting hit up on Instagram with a link and with a reach out, it can get a bit spammy, and there's bots and stuff now that actually prevent multiple links being sent. I mean, have you kind of looked into some of those technologies early on? I know, like, you grew a pretty quick Instagram following earlier on with some of the other projects you were working on, and you implemented some technologies there that were kind of facilitating that. But at the end of the day, like, they kind of smell a bit fake, right? They don't really have the rigor of an actual community behind them. And I think, you know, we're all actually starving for more connection in a real sense. So if you can build a brand and engage with a brand in a real way, you know, that trumps fake followers any day, or just what's your take on that?
So what I did before Jibbud is I found an app that, you know, was a game. Then what I tried to do was just build a kind of a community around it where, you know, we could try and manipulate different algorithms through Instagram and Facebook that, you know, would actually boost our posts in people's newsfeed. And It worked. But the thing is, it's hard to keep up with the constant, you know, change of the algorithm, the constant, you know, Facebook and Instagram are constantly changing. You know, Facebook are implementing all these new things with their news feed. You know, people can actually, you can view people's stories, all this sort of stuff. And that becomes a different, you know, channel or a different view, or for, you know, business to be able to actually be able to capture the attention of new customers. But yeah, it's a tough job trying to keep up with it, and it's hard and it's tough because Facebook and Instagram want to make it that way, and they make it that way so they're continually the top dogs. They're the ones to go to because, you know, at the end of the day, they really, you know, people are still making hundreds of millions of dollars out of social influencers, you know, every year. But potentially, you know, if I'm a business owner, just like Facebook, Instagram, it's potentially hundreds of millions of dollars extra that I could earn. You know what I mean? So it really comes down to how you perceive business itself. If you can break down, you know, these big corporations, they all run on the same thing. Do they make money? How do they make money? How are they going to do it? Exact same thing across the board, every single place. If they're not making money, then, you know, they're going to change something. If they're making the same amount of money, what can they implement to make more money?
Yeah.
If they're making more money, what can they do to make even more money?
Yeah.
It's all about the money that they make and the things that they have in place at the moment, and the reaction they get from the people that use their platform, and then they implement different strategies. Such as what you guys have seen, that people are pretty much oblivious to, like the stories and, the news feed, seeing what's relevant to you. That's pretty, in hindsight, it's pretty much what how the popular people say popular, because they're followed by, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of people that are liking their posts. And, you know, the people at the bottom that follow you, or you follow them, you know, your photo is at the bottom. You don't get much engagement, you don't get much comments, you don't get much likes, because then you have to then think outside of the box. How are you going to promote that photo? Rather than just say, all right, we've got all these people that have got famous before, these algorithms, all this sort of shit. You know, how are we going to compete with them? PR, marketing, you know, maybe you start up your own brand yourself, whatever you're going to do. It's all a massive factor, and it all comes into consideration when it comes to marketing through social media. You know, I know Gary Vee's big, you know, we have to do this, you know, fucking social media is the way to go. But a lot of people don't understand is that he's built his business around a show. What's relevant to people, he gives, you know, information to people, people watch it. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, we can just do this, you know, and then that's it. People follow him for a reason. You know what I mean? It's the same concept that and relevancy that goes through anything. You know, a simple like doesn't mean someone's going to buy your product. A simple, you know, a comment doesn't mean someone's going to buy your product. A lot of people take the piss take and everything out of comments or photos or whatever, videos, whatever it might be. And it's different across the board. You know, you could be wasting thousands and thousands of dollars on social influencers, and the money could be better spent somewhere else. And for startups, I would say steer away from social influencers, because in my personal opinion, it's a waste of money, big waste of money. You can better spend your money somewhere else, you know, through keywords, through Google, whatever it might be. That traffic can be redirected back through your website or through to your app or whatever it might, your service that you're offering. And that has more relevance than what a social influencer might have just to put their name on it. I would urge people to reconsider how they see social influencers. I see it as a dying market. I see it as a businessman or a business person, a potential to make, you know, millions and millions of dollars or more if that's built on my platform. It's just figuring out how to do it, how to keep the users engaged, and, you know, how to really monetize that for myself.
Well, I think you said a few things there, like, you know, in terms of the big corporations making money, you know, like if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, you know. They're using your data, they're ultimately generating a revenue off using your information and essentially any of the commerce that you choose to invest in the services that are also marketed to you. So it is changing. I mean, I've found that the way in which people are engaging with brands now is, you know, social media is here to stay. It's not going away. A lot of people thought that was just social media was a backhand way to refer to a new media channel. I mean, the way that print, media, television, radio, social media is one of those channels with its diversity of, you know, new and emerging technologies, you know. Interesting to see where Snapchat takes it with kind of the hybrid now between Facebook and Instagram as being one monopoly on a lot of that. But, you know, there are agencies now that have built up, digital marketing agencies, that specifically offer services that are targeted towards growth, to social influencers. They've got a database, they've got a list. Some of them are doing really well. You know, it's like if you've got this product, we've got these social influencers in this field, you know, they'll take a clip of it as well. They'll get them to refer the products. I mean, on some of the Instagram, social influencing sharing now, it's regulated that they need to list that this is a sponsored post. But overall, like if you're a startup, I don't really see how, unless they're a part of the team, or unless you can leverage that existing relationship, or unless there's a long-term engagement strategy that I've seen sometimes with these startups, like it might be related to a brand that a professional sports person or somebody with notoriety is able to consistently to create content around and refer your brand and refer your product, and you're constantly a forefront of mind. But as just like a one-off shoot from the hip sponsorship, it's also very hard to relate that post and how that actually is reciprocated in terms of payment.
The thing is with the followers and stuff like that, so if you have 150,000 followers, you then, you know, those 150,000 followers are engaged and followed by, you know, each post. So one post might be them in the gym, you know, they got a crop top on, you know, say for example, a female, she got a crop top on and she's got, you know, short shorts on. Guys will follow for that reason. next post, you know, maybe she's got her dog in it or something like that. She's, you know, just like casually, you know, other people would follow her for that reason. That's the thing around, you know, people and social influencers, is that, you know, it's hard for them to target who's actually followed them for what and why they've actually followed them for. That's why they, you know, a couple thousand dollars that I might charge if they have 100,000 followers is, you know, it's absurd. Like, why would you pay that when you could just pump that into Facebook and get direct, you know, and hit your target audience, whatever you need, you know, through to interest, age, location, whatever it might be, and you can sort of tie it in with all of that. And I think that's really important in not only, you know, spending money, but also being able to retain and target users who want to use your platform.
I mean, I've only recently started working in the marketing sector of a technology firm, but having, you know, rolled out products and services before and had to figure out on the cheap how to get enough of a view and impression. I mean, there's no, I hate to use that analogy, but there's no way to skin a, there's not just one way to skin a cat. I mean, there's so many approaches out there to utilizing these services and finding out what works and finding out, you know, the rinse and repeat formula of taking content, putting it in front of the right people, changing the format of it, keeping engaging. You know, there's a lot of masters out there that have had campaigns that have been very successful for particular companies. They've taken that formula and they've approached it to different businesses. A lot of the time for larger companies, they're more than happy to have a budget of X amount allocated to it, you know, X, Y, and Z, and not really have any accountability over the performance of that. They've got a budget to spend on social, they spend it on social. They've got a budget to spend above the line advertising on traditional print media, they'll spend above the advertising. And then, you know, that's the, you know, the wheels keep turning, and then the agencies take their cut, but not really the level of accountability that is what is actually the ROI for what we're getting. And how do we, I mean, I'm a frugal by nature, right? So I want to make sure that everything that you're getting, you're squeezing every dollar for. You're like fully, there's nothing left on the table. And I think for a lot of businesses, they just don't necessarily have the oversight of what that looks like. You know, I speak to business owners now every day in trying to create a, you know, facilitate them with the technology that's assisting them on managing their social channels, because businesses typically used to just do what they were good at. But now businesses have to actually be competent at social media and digital marketing. And if they're not competent, then they outsource it and they pay a premium. Or if they don't outsource it, they hire an internal person to manage it. And if they hire an internal person to manage it, it's, you know, they might not necessarily have full accountability or competence over what that thing is, and they kind of leave a whole bunch of it up to trust. And I mean, the social media industry in terms of consultation in that has grown so massively within the generation X and Z, is because they were digital natives with it, and now they knew just enough. You know, a lot of the consultation services are offered by people that know just a little bit more than what you know. And there's, you know, nothing really new is out there. There's a lot of information out there now that you can go and educate yourself on if you're really committed into that. So we have a bunch of services and lists and information and stuff that we can offer that's going to be really worthwhile. But at the end of the day, you've got to really figure out what it is that you want to offer. And how you're going to target them. So look, this didn't really kind of plan out on being a social media talk to start up, but what we're going to do is probably break this down a little bit more in clear sections, and then we'll go from there. You know, Colin, it's been good to have a little bit of a powwow.
Thanks, Al.
All right, Guru, we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.